The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why is legalism so dangerous? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us for the Friday edition of Grace in Focus. I hope that you feel free to send us your questions. Many have. That's why we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you want to, you can zap us that question by going to your email and sending it to radio@faithalone.org. We look forward to hearing from you and can't wait to see what's on your mind. Well, let's go right to today's discussion as Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar answer this very interesting question. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
We're taking your questions, except this one is not really a question. It's kind of a question. There is a question here, but it's more of a statement. It's from Mateus from Brazil. Somehow he came across our website, and I think he just has an interesting story. I think a lot of people would identify with what he's saying here. He says, I'm from Brazil. I was studying a little about the theology of free grace, and I got to your website. I grew up in a church with an Arminian tradition. In Brazil, almost all evangelical churches follow the line of Arminianism. I believe that only the Presbyterian Church, which is not very present in Brazil, follows Calvinism. I am now far from the church. I am facing serious anxiety problems due to some teachings that have been passed on to me. I take several medications to control my anguish and depression. I am aware that Hebrews 10:25 commands us to congregate, but I encounter serious psychological difficulties in fulfilling this duty. I became interested in the theology of free grace, not because it's an easier way to eternity, but because it is a hope of meeting again with my God, Jesus Christ. What anguishes me most is not being sure of salvation. Having to live always trying to prove to myself that I am doing good works, like loving God above all things. I live in a deep legalism. Love God more than your work, quote unquote. Love God more than your children, quote unquote. Love God more than your leisure time, quote unquote. How am I going to measure this? I carry a great sense of guilt. It feels really bad. I feel like a criminal for not loving God properly.
Wow, that's a great one. That is terrific. And it reminds me a lot of my own experience as a young man. Between the ages of 6 and 20, I was in a sinless perfection holiness cult. And it basically taught you had to turn from your sins over the course of years, and you would prepare yourself to be saved for years. Then, when you were committed enough and you'd turned from enough of your sins and you were walking enough with Christ as an unbeliever, God would allow you to be saved, and you would go forward at a service or whatever and give your life to Christ, and what little sin you had left would be taken away. And then what would happen is, if you lived a sinless life, you kept your salvation. Mm. And in the group I was in, if you committed one sin, you lost your salvation and could not get it back. Now, that's more extreme than what Mateus is talking about here.
He says he's in the Arminian tradition, which is...
Explain that, yeah.
Well, basically, the idea is, for most Arminians, is that you can lose your salvation.
But you can get it back, too.
You can possibly get it back, but the danger is you could lose it. Unlike Calvinists, I don't think that they would say, if you follow in the end, you were never saved to begin with. At least they're a little more realistic about that.
They would say you were saved,
But you lost it. I think that's where all the legalism comes in, right? Because how do you keep your salvation? In your group, you had to be sinless, I guess.
Right, but notice the basis of assurance, which is the same issue I had.
Yeah.
It's the one that led me to faith in Christ as a senior in college. I didn't have assurance. How did I know I was living perfectly?
Right.
How did I know I'd really given my life to Christ? I mean, I had a feeling one day when I prayed some prayer.
Right.
But how do I know that was really it? And so I was dealing with assurance, and I met with a Campus Crusade for Christ staff member. What he did with me is what needs to happen with Mateus.
Right.
And that is, Mateus, you need to focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ promised. John 3:16, meditate on that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. Notice, Mateus, the condition. whoever believes in him. It doesn't say whoever behaves in him.
Right.
It doesn't say whoever loves him above your children.
Yes.
Whoever loves him more than your job.
Yeah.
Whoever loves him more than your own life.
Right.
No, those are discipleship issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jesus taught we're to love him more than all, but those are discipleship issues. Those are issues to follow. And Matthias, what you need to understand, which I think you already do, is until you have assurance, you're not going to be loving Jesus fully. The way you love him is by knowing he loves you. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us.
Right.
Our love for him springs from his love for us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ compels us or constrains us. His love for us compels and constrains us to now lay down our lives for our fellow brothers and sisters. I understand what Matthias is saying, and isn't it odd that the way we think can lead to depression and anxiety?
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't it odd that the way we think can be directly influenced by the church we've gone to? In other words, what he's basically saying here is the Arminian theology he sat under for years or decades has led him to anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And guess what? I believe that's what God wants for him. He wants him to have that anxiety and depression for a time so that he will be relieved
right.
when he learns of the free gift of everlasting life by faith in Christ apart from works. I would say, Matthias, read a chapter of John's Gospel every day prayerfully. Lord, please show me, is it really possible to be sure simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that by believing in him, I would be sure I have everlasting life?
Right.
And then read John 1. John 2, John 3, or if that's too much, read 10 verses a day and keep reading through John's gospel till you have assurance.
Right. He mentions Calvinism, and in this way, Arminianism, Calvinism can often be the same. He says, you know, what anguishes me most is not being sure of salvation, having to live always trying to prove to myself that I'm doing good works. Why is he trying to prove to himself that he's doing good works? Because his assurance is based on doing those good works. That's what he's been taught. And mm-hmm. that's called the practical syllogism. Puritans believe this, but Arminians believe this. It's like, whoever does good works is saved. I'm doing good works, therefore I'm saved. That's the reasoning. And so you have to look to yourself, am I doing enough good works? But then they come up with Matthias's problem. Well, how many good works is enough?
Right. What did he say? How do I measure these?
He says, how do I measure these? How am I going to measure this? That I love God more than my work, more than my children, more than my
And notice
time.
He says, I'm guilty all the time.
And so you get turned inwards trying to look at your own life, and you're always going to fail. Because
right.
we're
that's,
sinners.
That's the opposite of what we should do. We should look outside ourselves.
Exactly. So instead of a practical syllogism, which is that looks to your behavior, we believe in a promise-based syllogism. Instead, our syllogism is Jesus promised that whoever believes has everlasting life. I believe, therefore, what do I have? I have
everlasting life.
When your assurance is based on Jesus' promise, if I promise something, it's up to me to do it.
Right, and if you're trustworthy, you're going to do it.
In the same way, when Jesus promises to give the believer everlasting life, there's nothing you can do to make that happen. That's his promise, and it's up to Jesus to keep it, and either you are persuaded that he's going to keep his promise or not.
See, that's a good point. And as faithful as you are, you might forget.
Oh,
as
yeah.
faithful as you are, you might mess up.
Absolutely.
You could die,
yes.
right? Something could happen where you won't fulfill the promise. But that's not true with Jesus.
No.
He is not going to forget. He is not going to fail. Anything he promises, he fulfills. So when he says, he who believes in me has everlasting life, John 6:47, take it to the bank.
Yes.
Matthias, that's true. It's absolutely true. And the problem with it is it sounds too simple, right?
Right. It sounds too good to be true.
I mean, it's like if that were true, then bad people could go to heaven.
Right.
Bad people yeah. could have eternal life.
I actually heard this just recently. Someone was like, well, if that's true, I mean, all these people who are bad right up until they died would go to heaven.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, that's called grace.
We're all sinners.
Yes, we're all
we
sinners.
We all fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
Now, it's true that some people are called righteous in Scripture in their experience.
Right.
And that's what we're called to be, is righteous people. But we need to recognize even righteous people sin.
Even that is a relative righteousness. It's
right.
not perfect. You're not sinlessly
right.
perfect.
So believers are called to be righteous, but even our righteousness falls short of perfection.
And that's never the basis of salvation anyways.
And it's never the basis of assurance
even,
either.
Yeah, even for a righteous person, even they can't look to their behavior for their assurance because they don't know what they're going to do tomorrow or the next week or the next month. The only way to be assured would be to trust that the Messiah would do what he promised to do.
Exactly. So we know that John 3:16 is true, and we take it to the bank. And so, Matthias, to get over your anxiety and depression, which I hope I didn't give you the impression I don't care about those things. I care very much about those things. Right. I've dealt with a lot of anxiety and depression in my own life. What I've found is that looking to Jesus alleviates the anxiety and the depression. Don't look to yourself. If you look to yourself, you're making the problem worse. Look
Absolutely.
To Jesus, because he will take that away. Now, that doesn't mean that all of your anxiety and depression will go away necessarily. But the anxiety and depression related to assurance will go away.
Yeah.
And if he has other anxiety and depression, he may get that going away by being able to go back to church again.
Sure.
One final point, Matthias. Find a church that clearly proclaims the grace of God, the free gift of eternal life. Because if you go to some legalistic church, it's probably going to cause you more anxiety and depression.
And if you can't find one near where you live, you might consider moving. I was just talking to someone yesterday who told me he's considered moving to a different state in order to attend a Free Grace church because
right.
the church he's in just doesn't teach that. That's a possibility. People move all the time, and you may have to do that. But I don't want to, if the thought of moving causes you more anxiety, I don't want to put that on you. I just want to just say, you know, it's an idea. It's a possibility.
Well, the way things are now, he could Zoom a church. He could Zoom churches in the United States.
Yeah.
Free Grace churches here in the U.S.
I mean, you can Zoom in a Victor Street Bible Chapel.
Right.
Matthias, thank you so much for reaching out. And I pray that God continues to draw you to Jesus and to his promise of everlasting life. And if you are struggling with the same thing, I would say prayerfully consider what Bob said. If you're struggling with assurance, go to the Gospel of John. Read a chapter a day, read a few verses a day, and just pray. Pray to God to show you what is the basis of your assurance. Is it your own feeble efforts, or is it Jesus' promise of everlasting
life? Amen. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to another Friday. I hope that your weekend is wonderful, and we look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.